May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. The words come to me some mornings when I get up. They are whispers every few afternoons when I consider the coming months, my future, the health of my family and friends. And the same words seep back into my mind and surround me from all sides when I lay down in the evening. I don't know. Show me the way. I know we are a community of great faith, but we are living in a time, as John put it a few weeks ago, that is the great unpatterning of our lives as we knew it. Some businesses may be opening, some may begin to slowly return to their old patterns, but for many, there remains lingering concern. Jobs have been lost. Extra precautions continue to remain in place, and there is still no vaccine to a virus that we know relatively little about. Our cities may be opening, but there is still a haze covering how we go about life to care for ourselves and our communities. We are entering yet another unknown territory during this new pandemic era. We can't foresee all the ways in which reopening cities will affect the lives of our communities. Doubt, fear, frustration, anxiety, and rage. One or all of these emotions have lodged themselves somewhere within us and are perhaps helpful in our survival on a base level. But I'd like for you to walk down another path with me this morning. One of wondering. Though not wondering when we'll all go on our trips this summer, not wondering when we're going to be able to eat at our favorite brunch restaurant, not even wondering when we can go to church. Not that that's a bad thing by any stretch. But I invite you to consider a type of wondering as an opportunity to better know yourself as a disciple within this unique space of unknowing. And consider the opportunities that may spring forth for you in your role as a disciple of Jesus. More pointedly, where do you place your trust when the chaos rises, and who is the character that emerges? There are many opportunities for us to hear the gospel and identify with the disciples, but in this morning's gospel, this rings particularly true. The disciples are troubled at Jesus' announcement that he will soon no longer be with them. He comforts them by reiterating a command: trust in God and trust also in me. I prefer the word trust to believe because it underscores the nature of the relationship that the disciples had with Jesus. It was close, much more like the relationships that we have with friends and family. We've probably even heard those words from those who care deeply about us as they emphatically say, "Trust me," when we are going through seasons of trouble or doubt. We rely on them and trust them to help bring us through the other side when the world is crashing down around us. In the Greek, trust in me can also be translated, keep on trusting in me. Just like we might keep on trusting in friends that we have spent considerable time with, who have brought pizza and strong backs when we moved across town, who helped us find jobs, friends that also surrounded us during grief. These are the friends we can trust in. But in John's gospel, Thomas and Philip get caught up in the chaos. Perhaps you've been there too recently. Fear and anxiety take hold. They take total control of your mind and your ability to think clearly. They forget who Jesus is. They forget that they have seen him and his works, that they heard his lessons, and they lived with him. So Jesus answers Philip a second time. They know God because they have known the ways of Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't exactly bring them pizza, but he did bring a ton of bread and fish. He didn't exactly find them jobs, but he showed them their vocations, how to be people of God's way. Not only did Jesus stand beside the grieving, but he even raised the dead. I am the way and the truth and the light is not just an exclusivity of accepting Jesus as the only path to salvation. In fact, it's not about that at all. The emphasis here is on how Jesus is God's character manifest in the world. Jesus and God the Father are bound up together, and you cannot see one without having seen and therefore known the other. So, we are also disciples who have seen Jesus. We've seen Jesus recently in our friends and neighbors who've sown and given away masks. We have seen Jesus in those that have brought us groceries and cut the grass. We've seen Jesus in the St. Paul's group that works with the Golden Harvest Food Bank to feed those who are experiencing hunger. We see Jesus in our clergy and staff who work so hard every week to keep us gathering together, learning together, enjoying beautiful music together, and praying together. In the gospel passage, I think it's really interesting that Jesus doesn't simply leave the disciples with comforting words, but reminds them, even in the midst of their fear and anxiety, that they will also go and do great works, if not even greater. I don't really know what God has in store for us. Nor have I witnessed miraculous healings or even seen one pizza turned into thousands of pizzas, but I do recognize that Jesus was inviting the disciples into a space of opportunity. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered then and now with the knowledge that we will be supported when we do works in Christ's name. Like I said, I don't know the extent of what this could look like. But I imagine that when we are with each other and with Christ, incredible efforts in his name can be accomplished. The trust we have in Christ is what we start with. Jesus invites us to be part of incredible works, even in the midst of chaos. And so I invite you to draw on your trust in Jesus, to explore the possibilities of what God is calling you to today in our world of uncertainty, and search yourselves for your distinct characteristics as a disciple. Perhaps in this moment, that search leads you to where God is calling you in your role as a parent, a friend, a spouse, a partner, an employee, an employer. Where is God asking you to exemplify grace in a new way? To foster healing, to strengthen relationships of all kinds. As an example of this, I think this is a calling as an opportunity to step into a slightly different role. And I was thinking about these roles. I've had my own roles have been shifted a little bit. I've been invited to new roles, some easily, more easily than others. God has invited me to become a much more patient person with others. Some of this exposes my own characteristic impatience, but it also reminds me that many of us are experiencing more anxiety than usual. I've also found myself stepping into another role, a role that is of the vigilant mother, mothering my own mother. I've gotten caught up in the last few weeks with concern as she goes out and does shopping experiences. And so I'm asking you to consider, where or what is the role that God is beckoning you to in our world today? What character is emerging as you live into your identity as a disciple in our world? Now is also a time to explore how God has shaped your character with regard to justice. A time to reflect on how we might be part of a miraculous step towards healing relationships with those on a personal level and on a systemic level. Healing that might foster justice for African Americans, that one day they may be able to jog in their neighborhoods without fear of being shot and killed, or other works of healing, that all those in the CSRA may never go hungry or without adequate medical care. We are a community marked with unknowns, but we know God in Christ. We have seen him and know him by his works. I pray we offer prayers of reflection to God throughout this week about where God is leading us to be disciples in new ways to our friends and our families and the rest of the world, despite lingering chaos, and continue to reflect the character of Jesus.